So, folks, I want to talk to you today about the concept of Kiddush Hashem, which is obviously relevant the whole year round, but I think it's especially relevant to this time of the year, to Yom HaKippurim, that's coming very quickly. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that a person has to be aware of the fact that although other averos in the Torah can be atoned for on Yom HaKippurim, given certain conditions, tshuva, vidu, etc., but with regard to Chil Hashem, that's already a whole different story. And the Rambam seems to imply that that Chil Hashem, even after Tshuva and after Vidui and after Yom HaKippurim, you're still going to need Misa to clinch the Kapar. So I have for you two things today with regard to Kiddush Hashem. I have, number one, an article in Hema Yenachamuni, which I photocopied for you, so you'll find that. And also, I have a section here from the book Halachic Man from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, which is called Ish Halacha. And there too, he defines what Kedusha is all about. And it would be fascinating to me to compare and contrast the two, because the Hema Yenachamuni comes from the world of Hasidus, mostly from Ger and Kotsk, and Rav Soloveitchik comes from the Lithuanian school of thought. They're all Ashkenazim, but the question is how we can see if we can compare and contrast. I'll just make a bracha. Bracha to Adino Elohim Olam Shakol Niyabidvar.
Amen.
In the essay called Shehei Shem Shamayim Misahev Al Yodcha, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Yoma. And the Gemara there, which you'll see on the third paragraph, speaks about Chil Hashem. And the Gemara establishes that Mishi Yesh Chil Hashem Biyado, if somebody is guilty of Chil Hashem, Ein Lo Koach B'Tshuva Litlos, V'lo B'Yom HaKippurim L'Chaper, V'lo B'Yusurim L'Marek, even if he had Tshuva, and even though he experienced Yom Kippur, and even though he suffered Yisurim that were brought upon him, which is usually Mechaper, all of this is not enough. Elakulam Tolan, he's still hanging in abeyance, so to speak. And what's going to be the clincher? Umisa Mimarekis. And the final Miruk means the cleansing power, is going to be through Misa. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk for this, V'nigla v'yozne Hashem tzvokos, imichu para avon hazeh, lachem ad tamusu. Hashem takes almost a vow, and he says that the kapara for this sin of Chil Hashem is going to be suspended until Misa. So in other words, we have a principle, which is a very powerful concept, called Itzuma Shel Yom HaKippur Mechaper. The day of Yom Kippur itself generates a kapara. And nevertheless, when it comes to the Avera of Chil Hashem, the Gemara says in Yuma and Daf Peivav that even Yom HaKippurim after Tshuva and everything else is not Mechaper. This, by the way, is also relevant to the end of the Torah in Chumash Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu desires, as you know, to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem tells him, Aleh el har ha'ivarim azeh, go up to the mountain, and you will die there on the mountain. You will not enter into Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe as to why this is so. And the answer is because of Mei Meriva. At Mei Meriva, you failed to be Makadei Shem Shamayim. You had an opportunity to speak to the stone and bring out the water. And again, we're not getting into that whole parashin chukas, but the bottom line is that lo kidashtem osi betoch b'nei Yisrael, you did not sanctify me amongst the people of Israel. So again, for the lack of Kiddush Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps we could say, based on Rashi, and this is in the second paragraph, Rashi says, Al asher lo kidashtem osi, garamtem li shelo eskadesh, that you, meaning Moshe and Aaron, caused me not to be sanctified amongst the people. Amarti lachem, I said to you, v'dibartem el asela, but instead you hit the rock. V'hutzruchu lakoso pamayim. And as a result, you had to hit it twice. Ilu dibru imo v'nosan mevla. Had you spoken to the stone, and it would have produced its water. Hoya miskadei shem shamayim. There would have been a great kiddush shem shamayim. And this is the famous Kal V'chomer that Klal Yisrael could have derived had there been a miracle the way Hashem wanted the miracle to happen. Hoya Yisrael omrim uma hasela hazeh, in the case of the Sela, which doesn't have any power to give reward or give punishment, it's an inanimate object. But nevertheless, im zoch, if a person merits it, he'll be able to get the waters out of the stone. Then, in a case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly if we merit through our mitzvahs, we can get great miraculous benefits from Hashem. And im chata eino loka, in the case of a sela, if you sin against the rock, you're not going to be punished for that. Then in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much more so, if we fulfill His will, we'll be rewarded. If we violate His will, we'll be punished. And this is something that they could have learned from the Sela, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the Sela. In any event, again, there are many details here that have to be worked out in terms of the Chet of Mei Meriva. There are like 17 shittas on what the Chet was. But the bottom line is, it's clear from the Pasuk itself that the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu's taking advantage of the opportunity of Kiddush Hashem, that in that absence, in that deficiency as far as Kiddush Hashem, Moshe lost his opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if we want to talk about Yom HaKippurim today, we want to speak about Kiddushas Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is called the Day of Kiddusha. By the way, the Hasidim don't call it Yom HaKippurim, they call it Yom HaKadosh. And this is the holiest day, and the reason for its holiness is something that we want to analyze today. The concept of holiness is, of course, essential to Yiddishkeit the whole year round. But on Yom HaKippurim, as the Yom Kadosh, we want to go into a specific analysis and a study of what Kiddush is all about, and if we can define Kiddush, to come back and then understand and appreciate why and how Yom HaKippurim is the Yom Kadosh. There's a certain spirit of Kedusha, of purity, that comes and envelops us on Yom HaKippurim, allows us and facilitates our ability to serve Hashem with a lev shalem, a full heart. Let's try to understand what this Kedusha is all about, and why is it that someone who, chas v'shalom, is guilty of Chil Hashem, is therefore denied the kapara power of Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is for someone who is Makadi Shem Shamayim. And that Kiddush of Yom HaKippurim links up with the Kiddush of the person, and together they form a power which generates kapara. But if the person is guilty of Chil Hashem, then the Kiddush itself of Yom HaKippurim is sort of antithetical. His personality rejects or repels the Kiddush of Yom HaKippurim, and therefore Yom HaKippurim is not going to be a complete mechaper. Again, it's a partial mechaper, but not a complete mechaper for this person. Now, who is a mechal Shem Shamayim? Moshe Rabbeinu, again, is held to task because he wasn't mekadesh Shem Shamayim. But the Gemara in Yuma that we started with today says, Mishesh Boriado Chil Hashem. Now, if you talk to me about Chil Hashem, I think of the worst averis in the world. But that's not so. The Gemara says, Heichi Domi Chil Hashem. That very same sugi that we began with in Yuma Daf Pei Vav asks, well, what is Chil Hashem that makes it impossible for him to achieve and experience the kapara of Itzumo Shel Yom HaKippurim L'chaper? Abai Omar Kedisanya. Abai says, you want to know the secret and the definition of Chil Hashem? Let's learn a brisa. And this brisa does not open up with a study of Mahu Chil Hashem, Mahu Kiddush Hashem, but what is Avas Hashem? And from this brice of Avas Hashem, Abai wants to draw the conclusion, what is Kiddush Hashem, and who is guilty of Chil Hashem? So again, keep in mind that Abai is making a certain jump, a leap of faith over here. He's starting with a brice that's addressing the issue of what is Avas Hashem. And once Abai derives from this brice a definition of Avas Hashem, then he's going to determine what's considered Kiddush Hashem and who is guilty of Chil Hashem. So let's understand the brisa. What is the Ahavta Es Hashem Elokev? We think it means actively loving God. And the Bryce understands, no, that the word V'ahavta is also causative. It depends, again, how you vocalize the word, what vowels you put in. But you could say V'ahavta or V'ahavta. V'ahavta means to cause others to love Hashem. And the ultimate mitzvah, says the Brisa, of Avas Hashem is not to love God, but to cause others to love God, to bring others to love God. That you should live your life in a way that will bring others to love God. How? So first of all, you have to have the first three elements that are in the intellectual sphere of knowledge of Torah. How do you acquire Torah knowledge? A, that's called kore, you have to learn. B, shona means to review. And C, that's not enough either. You have to be mishamish talmidei chachamim. You have to deal and get close with and learn from scholars. But that's not it. You can do that, you can become a great scholar, and yet it will not create a situation in which others will love God. Let's go on to the next stage. But v'yehei maso mato umatono benachas im abrios. We have something called masu umat, that means interaction. In all his interactions with the brios, it's always going to be benachas. Again, that doesn't have to apply to a shir. Okay, in a shir, it doesn't have to be benachas. There you can go, kasa. But outside of the shir room, this I know from Lithuanian yeshivas, but outside of the shir room, it's got to be benachas im abrios. So if a fellow asks you a question in shir and you're not happy with the question, you can go very hard at him. But outside the shir, you got to treat him gently. And I saw this, by the way, with my Rebbe. It was unbelievable. He could scream and yell at you in shir, and then outside the shir, he was your best friend. Now what happens when a person in all his dealings with his fellow man is benachas? Ma brios omros olav. What do the creatures say about him? And I think when the Brisa uses the word brios, creatures, it means even the lowest level, even someone who's not so sophisticated, he's not a great scholar, he's not so sensitive, but nevertheless, he's able to appreciate what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. What does the teaching and the studying of Torah do for him? It says, Ashrei Aviv Shalimdo Torah, Ashrei Rabo Shalimdo Torah. How fortunate he is that his Rebbe taught him Torah, his father taught him Torah. Oylehem Libriel Shalolam Du Torah. But how woe it is to those who did not study Torah, because they don't have that kind of sensitivity of treating everyone with such a beautiful, you know, interaction. Now we get to the... So that's the person who's the paradigm of Avas Hashem. He brings others to love God. Now we go to the other extreme. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not finished yet. Sorry. Ploni Shalimdo Torah. Look at this person that studied Torah. Re'u kamen noyim drachav. Look how beautiful his ways are. Kam misukonim maisav. Everything that he does is calculated. It's beautiful. All of HaKosef Omer, describing such a person, the Torah says, Vayomali Avdi Ata Yisrael Asher Becha Espar. God says, I am so proud of you. I am glorified by your actions. Now he goes to the second half. Aval. However, in contrast, Mishikori Vishonim Mishamish Tavit. Great, he's a scholar. However, Ein Maso Matona Bemuna Ein Dibura Benachas Imabrios. What do the people think about this great scholar who doesn't know how to treat other people? He doesn't know how to relate to other people. You see, on the one hand, the study of Torah is beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, it's a very high spiritual relationship that brings man in close contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not enough. There are two parts to Torah. There's Bein Adam Lemakom, and there's also Bein Adam Lechavero. And in this case, the person may be a great scholar, and we'll give him, you know, double checks and A++ in his Bein Adam Lemakom, but in his Bein Adam Lechavero, thumbs down. He gets angry at people, he yells at them, he doesn't know how to deal with them, he doesn't know how to interact with them. Ma brios omersal, what do the people say about him? Oilo woe to him, leploni shalom and Torah, oilo love him shalom and Torah, lerabo shalom and Torah. Ploni lom and Torah, u kama makul kolim maisav. What did the Torah do for him? his actions are mekulkalim, they're very negative, they're destructive. Kama mechu arim drachav, his ways of life are disgusting, are repulsive. This is the nation of God. Why do I want to be part of the nation of God? Now again, Abaye invokes this brisa, as we said before, the subject of which is Avas Hashem, to prove who deserves the category, the appellation of Chil Hashem. He's Machal Hashem, and he doesn't get Yom Kippur's Kapara. He's a person that the people say about him, Oy, lo lemisha lamdo Torah. He studied Torah, he's a great scholar, but what does it do for him? What does it end up with? This is not something that I want to imitate. I wouldn't want to be, I don't want my children to emulate such a person. Kama mechuarim drachav mikul kolam masav. That, says Abaye, is a machalas Hashem. And therefore, Abaye is telling us that the opposite of Kedusha, you see, we would assume, if you would ask me, wake me up in the middle of the night, what is Kedusha? Give me your definition of Kedusha. If you take a look in the bottom paragraph on page 190, he says, what is Kedusha? Kedusha is called Precious. If you take a look in Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, you'll see he has a whole section there on Kedusha, and he'll tell you that Kedusha is Precious. Precious means that he separates himself. He separates himself from the benefits and the enjoyments of this world, and he separates himself from interrelationships with other people. He's called Kulo Shakua. He's totally immersed in his service of Hashem and Bein Adam Lamakom. He's up there in Torah. He's up there in Yira. And that would be your paradigm of someone who is Kadosh. He dedicates himself to Torah and to Tefillah, and he fasts, and he's secluded. He's a hermit. And the answer is no, says Abaye. On the contrary, let him do his avodas Hashem, beinonim lamakom. Let him be a scholar in Torah. Let him dedicate himself to all those avodas pnim, you know, the inner avodos between him and God. But that doesn't guarantee that he is a makadesh es Hashem, that he has kedusha. On the contrary, it could be that this person is a machal es Hashem. Why? Because ein maso matonu be'emuna. Ein diburo imanu benachas. The way he deals with people is not the right way. And it's not honest, and it's not reliable. And therefore, says Abaye, you know what? We are going to classify this person as a Machal Shem Shamayim. Again, he's a Talmud Chacham. He may be a very significant Kol member, but at the end of the day, if he's completely cut off from people, and when he interacts with people, or only brings people to say, look at this, this is disgusting, this is repulsive, such a person is the opposite of a kadosh. He antithesizes kedusha. His midah, his personification, is chilul Hashem. And now, what I'd like to do with you is study a Rambam in somewhat great depth. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodia Torah. You know, the Rambam wrote 14 books of the Mishnah Torah. The first of which is called Sefer Amada, and the first section of Sefer Amada is called Yisodia Torah. And the Rambam dedicates the fifth parak of Yisodia Torah to the concept of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. The fifth parak opens up with Kiddushas Hashem, and he talks about Yehorik Val Yavor and so forth. But when he gets to the end of the parak, he speaks about Chil Hashem. Yesh Dvarim Shein Bechal Chil Hashem. And now the Rambam applies, or shall I say, presents the theory of relativity. Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is relative to the person. Take the person who is an Adam Gadol B'Torah, Mefursam B'Chassidus. We know how pious he is, how religious he is. And yet, what is he guilty of? Shabrios Meraninim Achrov B'Shvilon. He says people are wondering about him. He's not behaving properly. The Afal Pishainam Averos, he's not violating any specific Isa. The Rambam is going to give a few examples. HaRezim Echal Es Hashem. Again, watch what's going on here. We're talking about an Adam Gadol. He's Mefursam B'Chassidus. He's not violating any Avera, and yet he personifies Chil Hashem. Kigon. Shalokeach V'Eino Nosein Tbea Mekach Lialter. This is what we call buys on credit. And for an Adam Gadol, relative to his stature, he walks out of the store without paying, and what do the people think? He's a shoplifter. Okay, the Rambam, again, there are many details here that have to be ironed out, but the Rambam writes that he should have been, he was able to, and he should have paid up immediately. Take the case of a person who's marbe b'schok. Wherever he goes, he's always making jokes. And people think that this lowers his stature in their eyes. Or bachilu shasir, wherever he goes, he's always eating, he's always drinking. And he does it amongst the Amei Ha'aretz, amongst the lower echelon people who are ignorant. Or, says the Rambam, ein dibura b'nachas imabrios. This is what we saw in the Braisa quoted by Abaye. He's not dealing with people in the right way. Ein makab b'seif b'ponim yofos. When people come around, he doesn't have a smile on his face and accept them, greet them warmly. But rather, he's a bal k'tot v'kas. Whenever you see him, he gets angry, he picks a fight with you. And he says the Rambam, hakol lefi godol shel chacham. The greater you are, the more care you have to take in the way you act with other people. In fact, the Rambam says, Yaseh lifnim mishuras hadin. He should go even beyond the letter of the law. And in everything that he does, he should look for lifnim mishuras hadin. Meaning, maybe you claim against me a certain sum of money and I have a counterclaim. But nevertheless, I want to give you the money so that it'll be lifnim mishuras hadin. And therefore, a person should be medagdek, a chacham especially, should be medagdek, he should be very meticulous and careful and introspective about his actions. He should be speaking very softly with the other people. He should understand them. You know, sometimes you have a tendency of a person who jumps on you, and you're in the middle of something and he interferes with you. No. Sometimes you have a case of a person who bought something and he wants to get your approval. That's called mureves imoyim. You know, tell him, wow, you know, this was a nice thing that you bought. And you're allowed to do that even though if you don't think so. He should be makabel people b'sever upon him yofos. He should be nelav, he should be insulted, v'eino olev, but he doesn't insult others. Machabed, he should honor others, even though he's not demanding of honor and respect for himself. No se v'no sein bevuna, all his dealings are trustworthy, are honest. Lo yarbe v'yarchos, ami arts v'shivasam. He should act in a very dignified way. He shouldn't sit around with people who are speaking lashon hara or joking. And frivolity and so forth and so yirah tamid ela osek b'torah. He should be seen and viewed as a serious person who's always gravitating towards the base measures. He wants to study Torah. Atuf b'tzitzis u'muchtar b'tfilin. This is the Rambam Shita, not here, but in Hilchas Tfilin, the Rambam says that a person should wear tfilin all the time. The osek kol masav lifnimishus adin, when in his dealings with other human beings, he goes beyond. I don't know why the Rambam has to repeat himself. He's already mentioned this. V'hushalo yisrachik harbe. Oh, this is the part I wanted to point out. If you could underline these words. V'hushalo yisrachik harbe. Even though he's dedicated to the mitzvahs, and he's putting on tzitzis, and he's wearing tefillin, and he's learning Torah, but never should he be marchik himself. He should never distance himself from people. He should always be ma'urav imabrios. He's got to be a social, gregarious person, even though he's a great scholar. Sometimes you meet a guy, you know, he has a PhD in physics, you know, but you can't talk to the guy. He has no skills whatsoever socially. You meet a person who knows everything in Torah on an abstract level, but you can't approach him. He doesn't know how to speak to you. He doesn't know how to smile to you. He doesn't know how to care for you. The Rambam says that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who reaches the highest level of Kedushas Hashem. Why? Because he is involved with other people's lives. Lo yishtomem harbe. He shouldn't be so secluded. Ad sheyimtza kol mekalsin osovioven. He should be involved in the people, and he gets involved in the people, and they love him, and as a result of their love, they praise him. And they desire to emulate him and imitate his actions. Zehu shekiddush Hashem. That's your definition of kiddush Hashem. And again, he quotes the pasuk that we saw before, Becha Espoir. So now we move on to page 191. We get back to Abaye, and Abaye says, let's go down to the depth of a person's soul. And Abaye says, I'm going to reveal to you the truth. This guy may be a Talmud Chacham, he's a great scholar, but it doesn't matter. If he doesn't have the proper dealings with other people, if he's not clean and honest, if he's not Ne'im Darkov, if he's not Ne'imus, I love that name, Ne'imus Noam. I don't know if you know Noam or Namo, people who have that name, Kishmo Kenu, he is very sweet and very soft-spoken and caring about you. If he doesn't have that Midah, then says Abaye, he's Machalas Hashem. And here are both sides, we get to a whole understanding of what is the ideal of Judaism. And the Kotzker Rebbe, although he doesn't make reference to the other religions, but I think he's hinting at it, that in many other religions, the epitome, the priest is someone who is secluded, you know, he doesn't get married, he's celibate. That's not Judaism. The Torah describes Kedusha as Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Lachem. That's in the parasha, by the way, of Srita, you know, that we're not allowed to injure our bodies. You have to be Anshei Kodesh. Now, Lechora, there's a contradiction here. If you're Kodesh, you're holy, and then you're not physical. Anshei means being physical, being part of this physical world. Says the Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to strive to emulate the Malachim, those disembodied spirits. Those Malachim are pure Kedusha, without any element of Anshei Kodesh. Anoshim means we are made of flesh and blood. We are put on this world with our 2 feet on this world. We have to sanctify this world. We have to sanctify our bodies. We have to sanctify ourselves by interaction with other Jews, other people. And this is what the Torah means when it says Anshei Kodesh. We are a perfect integration, in the ideal sense, if we strive for this ideal, of Anshei and Kodesh. Kedusha is not precious. Again, with all the respect to the Mesilas Yesharim, but Kedusha is not just precious. It's precious maybe a step, maybe a preliminary step in the training process, but the ultimate goal is not Richuk, is not setting yourself up as pious and aesthetics and staying away from this world and from people, but on the contrary, Pumfaker, Lahachnis, any aspect of human behavior should be infused with sanctity. This is what typifies the world of Hasidus. The world of Hasidus put all the emphasis on Kiddush, on sanctity, to take the physical world and uplift it and sanctify it. Lecho b'kedusha, lishon b'kedusha. A person who's sanctified eats a certain way, he sleeps a certain way, his family life is sanctified. Every single action is sanctified. The way he deals with other people, b'maso, matano, his interactions are all a reflection of kedusha. Even though this is all on a physical level. You know, he may interact with a person on a business deal, and that's pure gashmi, you'll say it's physical. What does that have to do with Kedusha? On the contrary, this is the real ultimate challenge of Kedusha. How do you relate to a person on a business deal? How do you treat him? Are you honest in your business dealings? That's a person who is Noach Labrius Mekadishem Shemayim. He is the epitome, the personification of Kedusha. I want to take a little break here at this point, if you can keep your finger on the place. And I want to show you an essay from my Rebbe called Halachic Man. And on page 44 in the English translation, this was written originally in Hebrew, you'll see towards the bottom of the page a paragraph that starts, "If you desire." And he says the following, that if you're talking about the kind of religious life that the halacha advocates, then you have to go to the empirical earthy life, the life of the body, 248 organs, 365 sinews. Do not turn your attention to be exalted, to the exalted spiritual life, rooted in abstract worlds. Don't run away from this world into the world of spirit, but rather from the perspective of halachic man, it's not spirit. We're charged with carrying out our religious process in the physical, biological world. Everything that we do is with regard to bodily functions and bodily pleasures. The halacha enters into every single dimension of physicality and has something to say for it. There's no part of the universe or the psyche of man that's left outside of the halachic universe. Halacha addresses everything. And this is the exact opposite of what's called the ish hadat, which he translates into English as homo religioso. That means the man of religion. That he's referring to Christianity here. He says, instead of yearning to rise from above, from below to above, in other words, in other religions, the ideal is to go from earth all the way up to heaven. Here in Yiddishkeit, in Halacha, it's just the opposite. Now we're on the top, page 45. Halacha does not tell us to venture to rise up, but rather to bring God and divinity down and God's presence into this concrete world. And therefore, you take a look at Maamad Har Sinai. Maamad Har Sinai becomes your paradigm of how to serve God. What happens at Maamad Har Sinai? And the pasuk seems to say that God declares that I have spoken to you from the heavens. This is in Shmos Perikhov. This is the last pasuk before the Aseres HaDibros. And Rabbi Akiva darshans this pasuk to mean that Hashem bent down, so to speak. He bends the heavens down from up on high down to the mountain. In other words, it's not that the mountain went up to the heavens, but that the heavens came down to the mountain. This is the exact opposite of the Ish Hadat of other religions, because what he wants to do is completely demolish this worldliness and transform himself into spirit. So his ideal is the angel. He wants to become like the angel. And he wants to destroy his physicality and completely demolish it. The approach to God is the leap from empirical concrete reality into the transcendental reality. But not so for halachic man. When he yearns for God, he immerses himself in reality. He plunges his entire being into concrete existence. And he asks God to descend from the heavens and come into and enter the reality of man in the physical world on this earth. Not to transform finitude into infinity, but rather infinity into finitude. That's very profound. And if you take a look on page 46, you'll see that he goes on to describe the Mishkan. What is the Mishkan? Mishkan, of course, is the house of God in which we invite the Shekhinah to come down from its divine abode and come down into this concrete world. And we build Hashem a Mishkan. He says, an individual does not become holy through mystical adhesion to the absolute or mysterious union with the infinite, but rather through the whole biological life, through his animal instincts, through actualizing halacha in the empirical world. And therefore, when the Torah says, Kavedes Avich Vesimech, and the angels say, well, we want the Torah, Hashem says, Moshe says, why do you deserve the Torah? Kavedes Avich, do you have a father? Do you have a mother? And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu goes through all the Aseres HaDibros, those that forbid sexual, forbidden sexual relations, forbidden foods, and so forth. Says, do you have any shaykhus? This, you live on a world of spirituality. This Torah was made for human biological existence. It's appropriate. It fits here. The world of flesh and blood, that's where the halacha enters. And therefore, the whole idea of Yasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham on the bottom now, page 47, it means that the glory of Hashem, the Shekhinah of Hashem, that fills all the upper worlds, comes down to the lower worlds. V'Shachanti B'Socham. And that's what the Medrash emphasizes, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, how is it possible for infinite God to come down into a small place that's 10 amos on 10 amos, 20 amos on 20 amos, and there the Shekhinah is going to dwell? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe that I'm not of the same opinion as you. 20 boards in the north, 20 in the south, 8 in the west will suffice. I will contract my divine presence so that the Shekhinah will be shore in the Mishkan. And what does this symbolize? This is man's goal, to bring the Shekhinah down into the deep, dark recesses of physical reality, of the concrete reality. Okay, put this on the side now, and we'll see, I think, a tremendous stark similarity between what we're seeing here in the Hasidic world and what we're seeing in the Spitz-Litvisher world. And he quotes now the Mashgiach of the Geri Yeshiva, called Yeshiva Chidush HaRim. And he says that when it comes to El, and it comes to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, a lot of the Bachrim want to go up and up in Kedusha. They want to become like Malachim. And they cease to be Anoshim. They don't want to be human anymore. Menasim L'Trakeiz B'Nosei Shel Beinonim L'Mokom. And all they want to focus on is Beinonim L'Mokom. So they don't want to interact with their friends. They take a Tainis Dibur, they don't speak to their friends. He says no. It's just the opposite. He says that the function and the emphasis here to the as far as these days are, when we want to reach Kiddusha, and the ultimate Kiddusha is going to be the Yom HaKadosh, is to make a cheshbin and bein adam lechavero. A Jew can't be considered a ben mala on a high level just because he focuses all his attention and all his energy is spent on bein adam lemakom. Oh no, he's got to be makpid, very careful, makpada yisera b'maso matonu abrios. He's going to have to be part of maso matan, of interrelatedness with his friend, of bein adam lechavero. And here the Rebbe has an unbelievable insight into the Gemara. At the end of Tainis, the Gemara says that there were 2 days of the year where the Yontif, the Simcha, was intense. One is Tu B'Av and one is Yom Kippur. What happened on these 2 days that made it so intense? The girls used to go out, the single girls, into the Macholos, into the areas there, and they would call the attention to the men. And basically this was a day of Shiduchim. He asks the following question: Yom HaKippurim is a day of Shiduchim? So one of the explanations that the Gemara offers as to why the Simcha was so intense and the Shiduchim issue was so prominent on Yom Kippur, the Gemara answers, because Yom Kippur was the day in which Moshe went up to the Shamayim to receive which set of Luchos? The second set of Luchos. You remember the first set of Luchos were destroyed when Moshe came down on Shivasa B'Tammuz, and then he prayed and he went up for another 40 days to pray. Now he goes up on a third time for 40 days, which ends on Yom Kippur. And on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, and this we'll see on page 192, now the difference between the first set of Luchos and the second set of Luchos is that in the case of the first set of Luchos, these were divine. These were totally miraculous, unbelievable miracles that went on in the first set of Luchos. And this came down from heaven. Not so in the second case, in the second set of Luchos. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu has to work very hard, Psol Lecha. And that gives you the Simcha of Yom HaKippurim. Imagine, the Simcha of Yom HaKippurim is dafka because of the second set of Luchos. I mean, one could answer because those are the Luchos that remained. But the Rebbe wants to give a whole different twist on it. What's the great Simcha, the second set of Luchos? What does it mean, Psolacha? That Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to etch out from the stone the second set of Luchos? The answer is that the first set of Luchos represent man going up to Shamayim. Everything is from the heavens. Everything is from the divine being. It's all miracles. Man is totally passive. Those Luchos were destroyed. And now man is faced with the real challenge. And the real challenge is to take the physical stones and chisel them out. This has to be a human effort in which man is totally active and totally involved in this world. Kan, he says, Ba'olam HaZeh, at the end of the paragraph, Rotzak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenikach Dafka Luchos Maisi Yedeyono, that the Luchos are the creation of man. And what do we have to do? We have to sanctify. It's easy for the first set of Luchos to be sanctified. They were created by God Himself. But the second set of Luchos is a human effort. Our challenge is to take a human effort in this physical world. Bechol davar shanu osim b'chaya geshem. Anything we employ, anything we implement in this physical world, and uplift it, and bring infinity down, bring elokus and divinity down into this world. And therefore the pasuk says, until mashamayim shamayim lashem. Okay, you know, God is up in the heavens, he is the Bailim, he owns the heavens, but ha'aretz nasan lifnei adam. What's the connection between the beginning and the end? We have to take the shamayim and we have to bring it down into this world. The purpose of man in this world is to take shamayim, take spirituality and divinity, and bring it down into this world to transform everything physical. And most important is our human interactions with other beings. All that has to be upgraded, uplifted, and inspired to become shel shamayim, to become spiritual, to become holy. That's what holiness is. Holiness is not up there. Holiness is down here. And therefore, there's something fascinating. If I were to ask you, on what holiday or what holy day, I would say, of the year, would the halacha be so careful and so demanding about wearing clean clothing, what would be your knee-jerk reaction? Don't give me the right answer, give me the wrong answer, so that I can... No, I would say Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of Kavod Shabbos, where we dress in our, pardon the expression, Sunday best, right? But no, where do we find this mitzvah of dressing in our best clothes? Dafka on Yom Kippur, of all places. Big chiddush. Yom Kippur is a day in which we are spiritual angels. We fast, we daven all day, we say vidui and tshuva. Who cares about the way we look? I mean, for me, I don't know about you, I wear a kittel. So that's the easiest thing. You know, nobody knows what I'm wearing underneath the kittel. If it's a hot day, I'm not wearing much, you know. But the kittel, like, you know, hides everything. What day of the year is the Torah referring to when it says that this is the holy day and it has to be treated mechubad with the best clothes? Amalei ze Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, that's called the Kadosh Hashem Mechubad. So Rav Hamnuna comes up with an unbelievable chiddush. Ein bo lo achila velo shasiya. We don't have the mitzvah of oneg. We can't enjoy the day with achila shasiya. So what do we do on Yom Kippur? Ah, the Torah gave us the mitzvah of kibud. Biksus nikia. We wear beautiful, clean clothing. Why do we care about the clothing that we're wearing? This is a day of tefillah. This is a day of tachnunim. This is a day of crying to Hashem. This is a day in which we're removing ourselves, stripping ourselves of all that physicality. This is the one day of the year we reach the level of malachim sarfei mala. We don't have any dealings with physicality, and yet on this day the Torah tells me, be meticulous about the clothes that you're wearing. Why is the Torah caring one hoot about Dover Gashmi, because about something so physical? What logic is there that on the holiest day of the year, when we're like the Malachim, we should look at our physicality and the way we dress? But the answer is that the Torah wants to tell you, don't get carried away, don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't miss, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't miss the forest for the trees. And what do they want to tell us? Yeah, of course, this is a day in which we're commanded not to eat, not to drink. But on this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be concerned with physicality. On this day, God puts the emphasis on the Gashmias. He wants us to understand that ultimately, what Kedusha means is not to leave and alienate yourself, cut yourself out from what he calls the front, the physical front of Gashmias, without caring about the way you look. That's not the true ultimate Kiddush. Don't fool yourself on Yom Kippur and mistakenly conclude that the holiest day of the year and holiness is about Prisha and about being celibate and cutting yourself off from this world. There's a very important message here. Okay, Yom Kippur is a day in which we reach spiritual highs in piety and in Prishas, but we're mitzuvim to come, everything has to come back to the physicality. This is a day of levush mechubad. I'm very excited about this because I never was aware of this Hasidic approach to why on Yom Kippur we have to be so careful about the ksus, the clothing that we're wearing. And not only that, clothing, you know, a lot of people, especially yeshiva guys, think that clothing is secondary, it has no significance, you know, don't put all the emphasis on clothing. This is what they teach you in the Musa yeshivas. However, what does Rabbi Yochanan say about clothing? And this is on the top of page 193. He says that I call my clothing, my malbushim, mechavdim shali, or mechubadim shali. In other words, when I talk about kavod and dignity, I speak about my clothing. My clothing represent my dignity. And what does that mean? If my clothing are clean, it doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, the fancy styles. I went to my local shul in Harnof last night, and outside there was somebody selling ties. So he took a look at my tie, and he said, "Rabbi, I think this tie is a little out of style." But it's not a question of styles. Yeah, of course, he wanted me to buy any number of his Italian ties that he was selling. I'm not going to tell you what price he was asking. My wife probably would have been happy had I bought a few, but anyway. But what is it? Begadim Nikiyim. Look at that, Begadim Nikiyim. He says, you would talk about Begadim Nikiyim, and in the same breath talk about that which gives you cover. This is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Adar, is telling it, where do I reflect, or what expresses my cover? It's my levush, my begadim. And if he walks around, says Rabbi Yochanan, with begadim merushalim, merushalim means sloppy, then moridim eodim es kvodo. He loses his claim, his worthiness of kavod, of dignity. And this applies even on the day that's most spiritual, in which we are completely cut off from physical pleasures, Yom HaKippurim. Nevertheless, we're operating within an atmosphere of physicality, and we have to understand that the ultimate goal and the message is to penetrate into the physical with the spiritual and uplift it. And therefore, Chazal say about Yom Kippur that we should be involved with Shidduchim on Yom Kippur. Who can imagine it? If, let's say, I would go into a yeshiva today, I'm not going to mention any famous yeshivas, you'll fill in the missing blank, and I'll clap on the tish on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to say, today is the day for Shidduchim. They would throw me out. Yeah, but the Mishnah says at the end of the time is that there was never a simcha in Klal Yisrael like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Why? Because of Shidduchim. On Yom Kippur itself, Zivug. What is Zivug? Zivug really represents that physical part of man in which man needs a helpmate, he needs a partner in life. There's a physical attraction between the two. You know, you'd say that's antithetical to Yom Kippur. On the contrary, on Yom Kippur is a day of an Issa Tashma Shamita, right? You're not allowed to be in an intimate relationship with your wife on Yom Kippur. It might be an Issa Kares, or at least an Issa Lav. It's a very serious Issa. No. The Mishnah says that Dafka, on that holy day, we have to understand that marriage is a holy institution. We're not going to run away from marriage like some of the religions claim that they do. I don't know if they do or they don't, but that's what they claim. Their priests are, you know, a celibate. No. Penos Yisrael Yotzos. And on this day, the girls go out. And the Mishnah describes beautifully with pageantry what they did. They were wearing kli lavan she'ulim. They would borrow white clothes. Why did they borrow clothes?
So they shouldn't be embarrassed.
Not to embarrass those who couldn't afford clothes. Today they have what's called a gmach for wedding clothes. And cholos, they go into the cholos bikramim. You know, the between the vineyards, there were cholos, there were certain furrows and so forth. So, umahoyu omros. And they would tell the boys, on this holy day, don't understand that marriage is totally irrelevant and it's out of place and it's antithetical. But look, brar lecha, choose a wife on Yom Kippur. Maybe when we have this holiness, we can really be clear and make the right decisions. Because, you know, the rest of the year we don't have this perspective of tara, of purity. And unfortunately people make terrible decisions. I remember I was involved in setting up a fellow with a girl. She came from a wonderful family. She was an incredible girl. And he had gone out for years and years. I'm not going to tell you how old he was already. He claimed he had gone out already with 200 girls. So when I asked him about the date, he says to me, I've gone out with more gorgeous girls. You imagine what a warped sense of what marriage is all about. I've dated more beautiful, more gorgeous girls. That's what marriage is all about. And I wonder how, you know, when a girl is gorgeous, how long does that beauty last? You know, okay, today they have, that's why, I don't know, Mitch went into a different field, but maybe he should have gone into dermatology. If he can get accepted to dermatology, it's almost impossible. But the dermatologists today are making a lot of money because we live in a world of chukas hagoyim where all the emphasis is on physical beauty. And it penetrates into the Jewish soul, unfortunately. Anyway, so what do the girls say? Bachur baralacha. Don't put all your emphasis into beauty and how gorgeous I am. Hopefully I am gorgeous, but that's not the be all and the end all. Take a look at my family. Take a look at my spirituality. Look where I came from. Look what goals and what ideals I represent and I embody. Look for a woman who can give you strength in Yiras Hashem, who can teach you how to behave properly, how to go into Masu Matanim Abrios and be Makadi Shem Shamayim. And the super commentary on Mishnayis, in this case the Mishnah at the end of Tainus, is the Teferis Yisrael. He doesn't understand this whole minhag. He says, Lomotzu Chazal, they couldn't find any day during the entire calendar year for Shidduchim in Mecholos and Kravim in all these very hot, you know, romantic places. but rather on the day in which the Torah says Lifnei Hashem Titharu, the day in which the Kohen Gadol is totally, completely, exclusively dedicated to Avodas Hayom, Klal Yisrael is dedicated exclusively to Tefillah, to Tchina, to fasting. Now's the time for Shiduchim. But the answer is no. On this holy day, the Bnos Yisrael go out to the Krumim. And this is an allusion to tell us that all the Kedusha that we have of Yom Kippur is all dedicated and earmarked for one goal, and that's for the Maisa Gashmi. And of course, in order to upgrade and spiritualize the Maisa Gashmi, the physicality, you have to know what your sense of or system of priorities are. And he quotes the Sa Einecha, it says Sana Einecha. You know, that's what the girls say to the boys. Sa na einecha, hag beis riyos sechel gvoim ruchniim. Don't just look at physicality. Look at physicality as a conduit and a stage in order to reach, or a stepping stone in order to reach spirituality. Hisromeim, you should raise the karka of earth, of physicality, to a higher level. That's what marriage is all about, and that's central to Yom HaKippurim. That's what Kiddush is. That's why Yom HaKippurim is a Yom Kadosh. And it's fascinating to know that according to one Medrash, which I don't know if you've ever heard this Medrash, I never heard this Medrash, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the sand dunes is because Loma Bamidbar Shvil Sheyachzu Mesei Midbar Bischusa, that you know that all of Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, almost the entire male population of Klal Yisrael was buried in the Midbar in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, and somehow the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried with them in the Midbar, that's going to be a merit for them in Tchias HaMesim and so forth and so on. Now let's take a look at who these people were who died and were buried in the Midbar. They witnessed the Eser Makas, the Kriyas Yamsu, the Bizayam. They saw all the miracles of God. They were sustained for 40 years by the miraculous man. They saw all the revelations of God at Har Sinai, where Parcham Nishmasa, they reached that spiritual level. They saw and they were surrounded by the Anani HaKavod that escorted them and protected them for 40 years. They saw so many miracles. And yet, they were complainers. They saw the negative. And they were the Misonanim and the Mislonanim. And they came to Moshe Rabbeinu to complain. Kama Yomru Bamidbar, David HaMelech says, look at all the disappointment that Moshe Rabbeinu had to suffer during these 40 years in the Midbar, when these people who saw God's hand, and yet all they did was complain. And yet, paradoxically, why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be buried in the Midbar? According to this particular Medrash, he will not enter Eretz Yisrael. He's got to protect the Meisei Midbar, their interests. These same people who caused him such disappointment and such anguish for 40 years, and now he's held responsible for them. And here, the Rebbe introduces an element, and with this we'll wrap things up, to Yom HaKippurim, which is absolutely fascinating. How do we prepare for Yom HaKippurim? What is our goal? What are our primary ideals? And the answer is we have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. These people in the Midbar came and they tested God. Vayinasu kel bilvavam. They kept testing God. Is God going to be able to feed us? Is He going to be able to give us drink and serve us on a Shulchan Aruch? Does God have the power that when you speak to the Selah, the rock will produce water? Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous obligation of Kiddush Hashem. It comes to the fore in the Mei Amariva, but really is true for all the Vayanasu, all these episodes in which they complained against God. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of going out and embracing the people, he says, Shimon Amorim. He calls them rebellious. He gets angry at them. Moshe Rabbeinu Hera B'kaches Darko Lolit Chashev B'yotam Nirganim. He was not tolerant of those complainers. He didn't see the need to Lachnis Emunah B'levot HaNashim, to go into this. You know, he wrote them off. This was the Erev Rav, this other Jews who were in that category of complainers. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? I give up with you guys. There's no way I can help you. You're lost. You're forgone. You know, it's like you go to college campuses today and you see Jews who are so negative, you say, forget it, they're foregone. They're self-hating Jews, and they're anti-Israel, and I can go on and on and on. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw these people that constantly, after seeing the miracles of God, the hand of God, they were complainers, and he said, you know what? You guys have, you've crossed all the red lines. So the Torah says, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, were guilty. You had an opportunity to be Makadi Shem Shammai. And here, he is entering into a whole nother dimension of Kedusha. Until now, we've been speaking about Kedusha in terms of the physicality and uplifting physicality, making it into spiritual. He spoke about Kedusha, someone who is a personification of goodness, and people love God because of him. Now he's entering into another dimension of Kiddush Hashem. And that is to care for every Jew, not to be mezalzel, not to give up with them if they have fundamental religious problems. B'me'utei ha'erech, they're on low echelon in terms of the spectrum of Klal Yisrael. And Yeshlem Bayot Emunah B'Sisiyot, they have very basic fundamental religious issues. Lo Lizalzel B'Chashivutam. This is the key line here. Not to look down upon them and not to somehow be pessimistic and give up hope on them. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have an opportunity to be Mekadesh Hashem and uplift these people from their low level, and you failed to do so. And therefore you will remain in the Midbar, so that when the time comes, you will be able to uplift these people. Your merit will somehow work on their behalf. Again, the metaphysics of it we don't understand. But lahalos osam laviam l'tikun hasholem, that ultimately, maybe at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, Moshe Rabbeinu will bring them a safe Midbar, and he'll fulfill and rectify what he didn't do. And this means that we are required, we're in the next to the last paragraph on page 194, to Loretis Lesov Daitam Shalelu, we have to understand these people, no matter how low their way of thinking is. They're not strong in their emunah by far, they're far away from faith. But nevertheless, we have the responsibility to understand them, to lighten their ways, to penetrate into their hearts, to bring Kedusha and emunah to every Jew, Bechol Pina, anywhere on the face of the earth. You know, if I told you that this was written by Chabad, by Lubavitch, you would believe me. But it's not just Lubavitch. I remember there was in college, there was a girl, I took a summer class in a co-ed college one summer, and there was a girl who turned to a very religious woman in our class, a famous Rebbetzin, who was taking also that same college class, and she said to her, I have questions, I don't have any Jewish background. So the woman said to her, go to Chabad. And it bothered me tremendously at that point. What do you mean, go to Chabad? Only Lubavitch is in charge of teaching Emuna? So what do we say how do we open up our prayers of Yom HaKippurim? On a matirim lispalel imar avaryonim, we invite the sinners into the synagogue. There are dore doris of people who have been cut off, they're alienated from Judaism, invite them in. Let them taste and feel the power of a sanctified day, the greatest sanctity of Yom HaKippurim. I don't know if you ever heard of the philosopher Franz Rosenzweig, who was not brought up Jewish. And yet, he wrote a very famous philosophical work on Judaism called The Star of Redemption. Have you heard of Franz Rosenzweig? He's a great personification of a Baal Tshuva. How did he become a Baal Tshuva? It was Yom Kippur night, and he heard singing, and he didn't know what it was about. They were singing called Nidre. And he was surprised. It was a synagogue, and he didn't know why it was open at such a late hour. And he decided to go in. And he spent 24 hours of Yom Kippur in a shtiebel in Germany, and he came out of Baal Tshuva. He decided to become a religious Jew. This is on a matirim lispal in avaryonim. And therefore the Rebbe ends his presentation on page 195 by saying that when we have Yom Kippur around the corner, it's our responsibility to ask ourselves, where are we holding on the scale of Kedusha? How far have we gone to achieve Kedusha in our lives? How are we doing in Bein Adam Lechavero, which means our responsibility towards our fellow Jew, number one in terms of Maso Matan, the way we enter into dealings with them and interrelatedness, or are we saying, no, we're cut out? Number two, in terms of viewing every opportunity in life as an opportunity to uplift our physical Gashmias. And even on Yom Kippur itself, we have the mitzvah of Kvod, Malbush, of Kibud, we have the mitzvah of Shidduchim. This is what halachic man says about halacha. Halacha is there to face this world, to be part of this world, to bring divinity down into this world and uplift this world. And finally, what is our relationship to those Jews who are removed? They haven't gotten the emunah, they haven't gotten the upbringing. On this day of Kedusha, we have to intensify our Kedusha in our personal lives, and if we do so, then Emir Shem Bizocha to Slicha Mechila Kapar on this Yom HaKadosh, Yom HaKippurim, Ki B'Yom HaZeh Yechafra Aleichem, L'Tar Eschem Yikol Chatoseichem, L'Fnei Hashem Titaru, Amen, Ken Yirutzah.